You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros fall to the A's. Yes, you heard that correctly, 7-5. Not the best day for the Stros in Oakland. Seemed like a little bit of a fluke game, but Jake Odorizzi said he had some issues with blistering on his finger, and it definitely showed. The A's continue to kind of be an Achilles heel for him.
Yeah, and that was a rough fourth inning. It got out of hand pretty quickly, and I'll give the Astros credit for making it relatively close at the end of the game with our guy. I guess I'll accept it now. I mean, we did call him the Chasmanian Devil yesterday.
It's a great nickname.
And he did hit a home run in the ninth inning yesterday. So I'll allow the Chasmanian Devil nickname.
Excellent nickname. It's better than Chazzy Fizz, which he has on his Twitter that Sean pointed out.
Yeah, that does sound like a lame white rapper who like sings at colleges, but like at 2 p.m. in the afternoon on the quad.
He collaborates with Chet Hanks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike Posner.
And the Island Boys.
I actually liked Mike Posner. Mike Posner was one of those guys that went around to colleges. It was good.
Mike Posner. Whoa, went around to colleges.
Yeah, like
it was
and performed good at colleges.
As she bit her lip.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So the Astros fall. They play the Oakland A's again tonight before the Mariners peep their heads, ugly heads, up again.
Well, I mean, look, they're not ugly.
Yeah, well.
I mean.
Looked ugly without Julio.
They did not host me as well as I would have like to be hosted.
But no more dual jersey / dual shirt when the Mariners come here.
If the Mariners show up and when they play the Astros and they win 2 out of 3, then the next time, yeah, I will.
Then the next
I will
time
wear it again.
So they're on trial.
They're not on trial, but they're on, you know, they're on thin ice, right? It's one of those things where you send a text and the person didn't respond to the text and you're like, okay, you got to clean this up. Ball's in your court right now, Mariners.
Absolutely.
You want me, you need to earn me.
But then once you have them, you won't want them anymore.
Yeah.
That's just Paul's dating
life. Paul Gallant move.
So games like yesterday, even the best teams in baseball are going to have them. So you're not worried about what you saw yesterday with the Astros and the A's or is over?
I'm not. I'm just annoyed. I'm just annoyed. Like, piss off, Oakland. Like, go move to Las Vegas and
stop
this.
Why is it the bad teams that the Astros occasionally struggle with?
Because it's hard to focus on losers. I mean, when you're on pace for the best record that you've ever had, and you're on pace to break the 2017 number, you know, you're tied with the best record through 96 games with them. The club record is 108 wins. I think they can get to 108. This team is, I mean, with the lineup, when it's at its full strength and with the rotation at its full strength, couldn't you make a pretty strong argument that this is a better team than the 2017 team?
You could. Does that matter in the postseason if they're the best team in the regular season?
No, it doesn't. But these are things that eventually we will look back at and say, well, what was the best regular season team ever for the Astros? You're right, though. I like that you are making sure that we stay grounded.
Just want to stay ground level.
And maybe they should have stayed grounded against the Oakland Athletics.
There you go. According to Ken Rosenthal, Nationals first baseman Josh Bell remains a priority for the Astros to obtain. The Nats are likely to move Bell before right fielder Juan Soto if they move Soto at all. The Astros are exploring the addition of another catcher as Jason Castro recovers slowly from a left knee issue. Again, that's per Ken Rosenthal. Thoughts on Josh Bell, fellas?
Catchers are always tricky, to go back to the Castro thing, because it's hard to find guys who are like consistent bats. At least Maldonado's been hitting a little bit better recently, but how long will that last? Yeah, you need a first baseman. I'm sorry. Yuli's not it. He ain't it this year. Is he a bad guy to have on your bench as a defensive replacement, as depth, given what he has done in the postseason before? No, not at all. But he is not giving you enough. And if you can get somebody better, if Josh Bell's available to you, and I don't think that Josh Bell would cost you that much, then, yeah, swing. Take your swing. You need a bat to play first base. You also probably need a lefty reliever.
All right, the Astros, of course, taking on Oakland again tonight. That is the latest in the trade news. A Fox Sports radio host declared the Astros the Patriots of baseball. Paul Gallant, our resident Patriots fan, obsessor of Tom Brady, worshiper of Bill Belichick, disrespecter of Peyton Manning. What do you say about what this Fox Sports radio host had to say?
It's preemptive because you have to win at least a second title. Mm. But they're not off. They are disliked across all fan bases in baseball. They are more successful than any team in baseball has been over the last 5 years. And that kind of consistency is really hard to do in baseball, especially with how baseball teams seem to be more and more cheap when it comes to the luxury tax. Like, the Dodgers are really the only team that doesn't seem to give a damn about it anymore. The Yankees even do. The Red Sox even do. They have maintained this consistency. And I know some people don't want that moniker, but honestly, you should. I mean, that's I think that's like the highest compliment that you can give somebody. You are hated by everybody, and you are better than everybody. I mean, that's awesome. That's what you want to be.
You've said before that you want the Astros and Astros fans to kind of lean into booing.
Yes.
I do agree that it makes baseball more fun when there is a villain, especially a sport where they're trying to get young people more involved. They want to elicit emotions. So you're saying that the Astros should lean into being the bad guys, not only while the remnants of the cheating scandal continue to kind of digress, but just in general. Because even though Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots, there is still the Patriot quote-unquote way and kind of hatred. It's not as strong as it was, but it's still there.
The Patriot way is interesting because it's more about the way that they operated their team, where they would, first off, not pay anyone an astronomical amount of money. And two, if you were still talented and you weren't doing things the right way, they would cut ties with you. There are these other things like, oh, Patriots, the Patriots way is being a choir boy and stuff like that. No. I mean, Aaron Hernandez was on the team. So,
right.
I mean, that was always a little bit
ridiculous.
That's
a good point. I think it's more of the Texans way is being a choir boy, right?
Yeah, except for, you know, Deshaun Watson. And,
well.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, let's be honest. Like, the idea of every single team being able to keep a roster of 53 men who are many of them are in their early 20s. Like, that's an uphill battle, to say the least. But, with the Astros, what you have seen is a team that hasn't given its best players the big contracts. And they have all been for, I think, in ways, legitimate reasons. I miss George Springer. But would the Patriots have let George Springer walk? Probably.
Good point. Springer's Carlos Correa.
Correa. Gerrit Cole. Zach Greinke, to a lesser extent.
Wow, there are a lot of similarities.
I mean, they don't stay married to star talent. They consistently believe that they can replace that talent with the guys that they draft, the guys that they develop. And I think that's the thing that they don't get enough credit for of late. Jeremy Pena, I mean, what was the ramp-up period for him to play like this? What, 3 weeks?
You know what's funny is I said on AT&T Sportsnet a couple of weeks ago,
humble brag,
that Justin Verlander is similar to being like the Tom Brady of baseball, because he's 39, he's overcome injuries, he's just as dominant in some ways as he was a few years ago. To your point, if the Astros win another World Series, not go to another one, if they win another one, are they in the conversation for kind of dynasties like the Patriots?
Definitely. They have to win the next one, though. And I mean, this is what's so pivotal about this year. There will be other years that the Astros have opportunities. I don't think this is going to just fade into nothing overnight. But you got to get that second one so that people will talk about you years from now. And then you got to get the third one so that people will definitely talk about you years from now. I mean, if you look at what this team is right now, and then you watch this Derek Jeter documentary, which, by the way, episode 2, significantly better. Because they started focusing on the entirety of the 1996 Yankees.
Don't
as opposed
they do
to
two parts at a time?
I think so. Okay. Right. I'm behind. I didn't watch any over the weekend. But if you want to have a documentary made about this team, you've already got the scandal. You already have a team that's made it to 5 straight World Series. You just need the other one. And honestly, I would love to see somebody someday make a documentary about this run. I mean, it's incredible.
It has been an incredible run.
This, and I know, I think Lance was talking about it on the bench a couple of weeks ago when they had the guy who was actually doing the Derek Jeter documentary on, one about like Hakeem Olajuwon and those Rockets teams. Yes, and I would gladly help if there ever is an endeavor to make one of those. I would love to be a part of it, even though I wasn't really here for it.
Oh, a documentary on Houston
Sports? I've always wanted to be part of a documentary.
Yeah. I wasn't there, but I've heard it was sick.
I, I mean, I would want to be part of the production of that. Yes.
It is funny that you're volunteering help and then you go, but I wasn't here.
I mean, I wasn't
in like high school when it happened.
I wasn't, but I feel like it's something that does deserve to be commemorated. And I have, since moving here, kind of developed a little bit of an inferiority complex when it comes to Houston sports in some regards. I mean, people just forget about those two Rockets teams. And if I were a Rockets fan, I'd be pissed off about that. Like, oh, Michael Jordan would have won those 2 years.
Right.
Shut the bleep up. You know?
Oh, close. Almost had the dump button. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, who would you be comfortable with the Astros trading to get, say, Josh Bell or somebody else? Let us know. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we told you a little bit about this in the last segment. Ken Rosenthal, according to his latest report, has been talking about Josh Bell possibly being a priority for the Astros. Nationals first baseman Josh Bell remains a priority for the Astros. The Nats are likely to move Bell right before right fielder Juan Soto, if they move Soto at all. The Astros are also exploring the addition of another catcher as Jason Castro recovers slowly from a left knee issue. It leads us to this interesting question. Who is the best Astro you'd be okay with trading?
I thought this up while watching that Derek Jeter documentary. George Steinbrenner was talking about the moves that the Yankees were going to make between 1995 and 1996. And, I mean, the changes that they made and some of the moves they didn't make allowed the Yankees to eventually turn into that late 90s dynasty that they were, where they won 3 World Series. They made it to, I think, 4. So I look at it through a couple of different ways. And I'm not advocating this, by the way. It's July. This is
sure. This
is July fodder. But, okay, you're not trading Yordan Alvarez because of the contract that he has. You're just not. You're not trading Jeremy Peña. He's a rookie. You're probably not going to get that much in return for a Jose Altuve. You're probably not going to get that much in a return, at least with the way things have gone thus far this year, for an Alex Bregman either. What, though, player would you potentially be willing to trade? Say you think to yourself, I can win without this guy this year. So I'm just going to throw this out
this
there.
This year right now.
Right.
Okay.
This year. Because, let's be honest, this might be Justin Verlander's last year. For the sake of conversation, would you be willing to trade the first 13-game winner in baseball this year with a 1.86 ERA who hit 99 miles per hour on the gun at the trade deadline that would net you someone incredibly young, good, that would allow you to continue to be the, I guess, New England Patriots of baseball? You're doing a move that everyone's going to look at and say, you guys are bleeping morons, and you should not have done this. But instead, you're getting, in return for Verlander, say you get like top-of-the-line prospect from one of the other contenders, maybe in the National League or something like that. You have, by the way, your rotation locked up for the next 4 to 5 years. Like, all those guys are under long-term deals.
Would Lance count as a superstar to trade?
I don't think so, and I feel like, again,
Because of the injuries?
With McCullers, it's the injuries, yeah. I think. I don't think you would get that much for him.
Verlander, that's a toughie, because then who's your ace?
Not anyone, probably.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if you're trying to win a World Series this year, you're going to need Justin Verlander.
You're right.
It doesn't matter how old he is.
You are 100% right. And, I mean, I expect him to continue to pitch like this the rest of the season.
I just know that it cannot be Jose Altuve. This city would burn down.
Yeah, Altuve.
Off limits.
Yordan, because who are you going to get that's better?
Right. And he also just got a new contract.
That contract is such
Justin
a steal.
Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Bregman, it would take...
I don't know you're going to get that much in return for Bregman.
I could part with Bregman.
That's the weird kind of thing of like, so A, they can't be too good because then why are you trading them? And then also they can't be too bad because why would anyone want them? Especially if they're, you know, like Bregman's already on his second deal.
Right.
Someone on the Twitch line said you can part with Bregman this year and still win. That's Cougar Blaze. I believe that too. He has shown signs of coming back as of late, but he definitely struggled. I don't think that you can say Altuve in any world. But Justin Verlander is intriguing. Do you think that he would, I mean, he would obviously garner some young prospects.
Right.
But again, but the question
and
is,
I think there's a no
who
trade
can you still
too.
Win with this year?
This is a stupid July topic. And again,
right.
you shouldn't
like
do this.
It. No, but it's the trade deadline's coming up, so it is topical.
And piggybacking just off of that Patriot way, I mean, they would make moves, and you would think to yourself, what? Why? Why do they do this? The list was very long of guys who were still good, that were still contributors, that still should have been part of championship teams with them. And they were just like, you know what? No, we could find more production elsewhere. He's your best pitcher by far. It's not close. Again, July fodder topic. I do think, though, that he's the best player on this team that you could talk yourself into trading.
And still win with this year. That's where it gets tricky to me. Because
that I don't know that
yeah,
you would.
Because if we're doing the Patriots analogy, wouldn't that be like trading Tom Brady? Would be trading Justin Verlander?
But you're talking about a guy who's pitching once every, in the playoffs, probably three games. So that is something else to kind of keep at the back of your mind. It's not to say that you would miss him. You would miss him a ton. And again, July fodder topic.
Yeah, he pitched like three
times
in a series.
We know it's July fodder topic.
I don't want to say, I'm not advocating for this. I'm just saying, like, I think he is the best guy that if you were like a really ballsy GM,
yeah, ballsy.
Like you could actually spin this in a way. If you were to get some super prospect in return for him and to be able to, I don't know, just like have the next insert player X, Y, or Z. Because Kyle Tucker is another good alternative, I guess, as like someone that you would potentially be able to trade and get something really massive in return for him.
He has not signed a new contract, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I was thinking Kyle Tucker could be, if they want to throw their hat in the Juan Soto thing, Kyle Tucker would basically, I mean, he would be in the deal.
It's a really good point. Two young guns, young studs.
So really the question is, okay, who is the most talented player on the Astros that you would also be willing to trade? Someone's holding a gun to your head and saying, look, it's Jim Crane comes into the office.
If someone was holding a gun to my head, I'd trade anyone on the Astros.
Oh, damn. Well, Jim, so just think, like, Jim Crane's had a bad day at the office.
Okay.
He's looked at the budget. He realizes that he's screwed. And you need to get rid of a guy, but also make sure you're making a big picture move for the long term. In this hypothetical July topic conversation, who is the best player that you would be willing to move? I feel like just with the way – I think this is it for
Kyle
Verlander
Tucker.
In Houston. I do. I think – like I get the idea that, yes, you want to try to re-sign him, but he signed a team-friendly deal this offseason that also allows for him to, of course, opt out if he hits that 130-inning mark. So Verlander might walk at the end of the year. If you were really ballsy, you would think about moving him. I'm not saying that you would. That would be stupid. But if somebody offered you an incredible player in return for him – or something like that.
I still got to say the most I would do is Kyle Tucker. I don't think I can part with JV or Jose Altuve and still think that the Astros win this year.
Because then that bumps up like Framber Valdez as your number one.
Right, as your ace. Because who knows when Lance is coming back.
The Framber Valdez, all-star Framber Valdez.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Never mind.
Verlander opted out of the all-star game. Framber Valdez opted in.
He's a dog? Is that what you're saying?
He's got that dog
He's got that dog in him. Somebody that does not have that dog in him, apparently, Kyler Murray. According to his new contract and sources that let Ian Rappaport know, he is required to do 4 hours of independent studying a week. It will be on a team-issued iPad so they can track his activity. And this is never before, the old heads are saying, the old veteran journalists are saying that they have never seen this in a contract at all, let alone a quarterback contract. Thoughts on the big story on all of the big networks today, which is that Kyler is required to do 4 hours of homework, which a lot of football guys and quarterbacks have done before they even come into the office on Monday.
There are so many layers to dissect here. Let's just start with the one that involves the Cardinals seemingly resolving a dispute with their star quarterback by signing him to an extension and then very clearly leaking this fine print, which essentially slanders Kyler Murray and his football character. Even if you have these reservations about Murray, why do you feel the need to air this dirty laundry after you've probably resolved this situation? What good does it do you?
I did see on Twitter where they're able to forfeit $100 million and that guaranteed salary could come back to them if they can prove he did not do his homework. Also, how embarrassing is it, guys, video games specifically are mentioned in the contract, such as video games as things that he would be doing instead.
Video games are addictive.
That's embarrassing. You have to put the two words video games. Embarrassing, right?
It's literally like what my parents did when I was like in eighth grade was, hey, you can't play video games during the school week.
Do you not think?
And they're doing that to someone they're giving $100 million. $200 million.
Did you still play video games during the school week?
No, because I was a good boy.
Okay.
Were you really?
It would have been hard to fake or, to hide it.
To lie.
Yeah, eventually I found a way, Sean. Any addict can find a way.
I guess I wasn't an addict then.
I'm
better than Kyler Murray and Paul Gallant.
Honestly, I'm not even kidding. Like there's a reason I've stopped playing them altogether.
Oh, you were actually
I will start playing, and the next thing I know, like 5 hours have gone by, and I've just totally checked out. I remember, and this is kind of messed up, but when I was graduating high school, I got a bunch of graduation money, and instead of going on a trip overseas with my mom and my sister, I stayed back so that, one, I could go to, like, last hurrah high school parties with friends, but also so that I could use that money to walk down to the GameStop that was half a mile away and buy myself an Xbox 360 and Elder Scrolls Oblivion, which I played for legitimately a week straight.
Were you a Call of Duty guy? I think, isn't Kyler's choice of
was everything.
Drink Call of Duty?
It was Halo 2 mostly, but yeah, it was everything.
I think Kyler Murray is like a signed, like, video game influencer of some
That's
sort.
That's right.
He has a Twitch.
Well, all the best to Kyler Murray. Hopefully he's able to pull off 4 hours of homework because it's not going to be a good sign if he can't.
I graduated. I don't do homework
Instead
anymore.
Instead of doing video games, you should watch Dude Perfect, the American sports and comedy group from Frisco, Texas. Dude Perfect is coming to the Toyota Center this Friday. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the unpredictable trick shots and epic antics all live and in person. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. Ask your kids about Dude Perfect. They definitely know who Dude Perfect is.
You know what else is epic?
What is epic?
The Passive Investor Network,
what?
People. My friends in real estate, you're looking to invest in real estate. The Passive Investor Network are the people that you want to talk to, and you can do that. Go to passiveinvestor.net, enter promo code ESPN, and you get to go on a bus tour where the Passive Investor Network will take you around town and show you some of the projects that they have taken on, some of the refurbishments that they have done, some of the unbelievable reconstruction they've done. Ronnie and his team have been doing this for 20-plus years with the Passive Investor Network, and what they do is they scout out parts of town that they think can be revitalized, and then they buy property, they actually do it. And if you invest with them, you'll get a little taste of that action. It's the Passive Investor Network, people. And look, I mean, things are getting more and more expensive, and you're probably thinking to yourself, it might be hard to figure out if I have the kind of money to, even invest in real estate. Well, that's why you got to meet with the people at the Passive Investor Network. They will personalize a 5-year plan for you. Passiveinvestor.net is the website. Promo code ESPN to go on that bus tour. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, quarterback tiers. Sean Mapes, you're a fan of quarterback tiers, right? You're more of a tier guy. I remember
Big
you saying
tier
this.
Guy.
Big tier guy. Mike Sando released his quarterback tiers for 2022, and if you're not familiar with his, as Brad Kellner would say, process, his list is compiled based on feedback from 50 NFL coaches and execs, which includes 6 GMs, 8 head coaches, 10 evaluators, 12 coordinators, blah, blah, blah. The survey does not include rookies. So here are the quarterback tiers, and I'm going to start by just listing tier 1, and then we can get to tier 2. Tier 1, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow in that order. Allen, Herbert, and Burrow, it's their first time in Tier 1. Fellas, thoughts on Tier 1?
I would not have Herbert in Tier 1. I think Herbert is at the very top of Tier 2, but I feel like of all those guys,
I mean, there's only one who hasn't done a damn thing in the playoffs.
Let's define tier one. According to Mike Sando, a tier one quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game.
The Chargers win? Do they win?
That's I'm a big question. Justin Herbert fan, but I will agree with you that having him in tier one is dicey. Sean, what do you think about
just
that?
Just seeing him next to the two-time MVP, the greatest quarterback of all time, Patrick Mahomes, who's been to, I want to say, four straight AFC titles. Like, literally every year he's been a star, he's made the title game. And then Josh Allen. And then the guy who just made a Super Bowl. And then Justin Herbert. That does seem dicey to me. I agree with Paul that I think he should be the first name in that second tier, just until he does it one time.
Right. And I mean, they were close, but they were 9-8. You know, that wasn't...
Yeah, it came down to the last game of the season.
That wasn't enough. And I mean, this year, if he does make the playoffs and wins a couple of playoff games in that division, then damn. You know?
Yeah, even just making the playoffs in that division might be... That would be pretty impressive.
Herbert is dicey. Joe Burrow, here's the thing, because it says there are no clear holes in their game. Obviously, Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Well aware of that. Do we think that Joe Burrow belongs in Tier 1 just simply because he went to a Super Bowl?
I mean, he got sacked like 12 times in that game against the Titans, and they won.
And they still won, yeah.
Now, part of that is Tannehill falling off. Yeah, I mean, that is probably his biggest issue, and his offensive line, theoretically, is better this coming season. But, I mean, shoot, they almost won that game. And, I mean, who expected the Bengals, of all teams, to cruise through the AFC? No one. They beat the one seed. They beat the Chiefs, which was really stunning. And there's no way in hell that they do that without Burrow, who is just so resilient and so tough.
How about the fact that Justin Herbert is before Joe Burrow? I mean, that part is surprising to me as well.
Because this is what bothers me about the Herbert love. It is founded. It is well founded. The guy has a lot of talent, but I feel like there's been a lot of crowning him before he has done anything of consequence. And I don't know. I wasn't that impressed by him when he played the Texans. I know it's a one game sample size. I'm not acting like I'm watching a ton of Justin Herbert either, too. So I want that clear. I'm not saying the guy is bad. I think he's a damn good quarterback. I just feel there is this love of his skill set. You can love a guy's skill set and still say that there are some things that he needs to be a little bit better at. And yeah, I think it's faulty to put him up here at this point in time. If you're talking about a quarterback who wins as being the biggest necessity for tier one, well, let's have a guy that's played in the playoffs.
Tier two quarterbacks defined as can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations and doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. The second tier quarterbacks are in order: Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, and Matt Ryan.
If Deshaun Watson doesn't have what's going on with him right now, isn't he at the top of this list?
The top of tier two?
Yeah.
I'd say that he may be at the top of tier two. Does Matthew Stafford being in tier two, what are your thoughts on that?
He should be in tier two. I mean, they made the Super Bowl because of him. It was Sean McVay. He was overcoming Sean McVay mistakes with big plays. Like the
McVay
big
mistakes. I like that.
Yeah, that was unintentional too, which is even better. All my cool things are unintentional. Mm-hmm. What a bummer. I'm not funny at all. Matt Stafford threw a bomb downfield to Cooper Kupp, and I mean, that's why they ultimately took down the Bucs. Stafford made big plays when he needed to. And again, you always have some what the hell just happened throws with him. But Stafford, I think, deserves the spot at the top of two. I do think, though, that if we didn't have all this stuff happening with Watson, Watson would be at the top of this.
I think if you take everything out of Watson, I think him and Herbert would probably be in tier two by themselves. And all these guys in tier two would probably be in tier three. Because looking at the name, Matt Ryan is in the same tier as Lamar Jackson.
It's a great point.
Like that.
Should there
that
be more tiers?
That seems wild to me.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
Ryan should not be in this tier. I don't think that Derek Carr should be in this tier. I don't think Dak should be in this tier after last year with the ankle. He wasn't like the mobile guy
Jackson does. Lamar Jackson belongs, even though those comments that we read earlier. Russell Wilson is, I would say, at the bottom of tier two just because of what you saw last season. But it wasn't that long ago that he was in tier one when it comes to this Sando list that he put together for The Athletic.
Tier three includes quarterbacks per Mike Sando. A tier three quarterback is a legit starter but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. Tier three quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, Ryan Tannehill, Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, and Jameis Winston make up the tier three categories.
How the hell is Ryan Tannehill ahead of Mac Jones? I'm sorry. No. How is Ryan Tannehill ahead of anyone on this list?
So you think Ryan Tannehill should be a tier five?
I definitely don't think he should be in this tier. I look, and also, it's kind of weird that some of the guys that we have in this tier, I mean, I'm going further and further down, and did we really decide to just make this tier as big as it is?
It is a large tier. The largest of Sando's tiers is this third tier. Again, it's Kirk, Jimmy G, Ryan, Tannehill, Mac Jones, Baker, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Jameis Winston.
Hurts doesn't belong on that. Wentz doesn't belong on that. Goff definitely doesn't belong on that. Jameis Winston doesn't belong on that.
They belong lower?
Yeah, they're lower. They're lower than that. Like, these are guys that like were easily available this offseason. Like, I'm willing to at least leave Ryan Tannehill in this tier, but like put him at the bottom of it because he's proven himself before, but... Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield's even dicey being in this one, too. I mean, like, no one wanted him this offseason.
I think the order of these, like, there's, you know, maybe one or two spots, like, quibbles. But I think my biggest takeaway is that there should be more tiers than this.
Well,
because there's five tiers, and I already saw who's in the, or who all is in the fifth tier. And there should be more
tiers. Yeah, tier four is Justin Fields, Tua, Davis Mills, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Daniel Jones, Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Mitch Trubisky, and Drew Lock. And then tier five is Geno Smith. It's just weird to have a tier with one person.
Like, tier five is essentially just quit. It's over.
It's Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Do we agree with tiers four and tiers five?
Fields being at the top of four makes no sense to me either. Like, Fields looked awful last season. And I mean, I get it. Like, there's all this love about what he was able to do at Ohio State. I think him being at the top is ridiculous. I do like the idea of Davis Mills being closer to the top, but I don't know. I don't see how you can put Zach Wilson behind Justin Fields either.
That's a great point.
Like, what? Like, Wilson at least had flashes last year. Fields looked hopelessly lost at times. Daniel Jones, my God, he's done the
least. I also think it's
Mariota
aggressive
should also
to have,
be in tier five. Mariota's terrible.
It's aggressive
as
to have
Trubisky.
One person in a tier. It's just
mean. At least also put Drew Lock in
there. Right, right. It's just mean.
Like, what separates Drew Lock and Geno Smith?
Well, he's younger.
The funny thing is that tier five is defined as someone who's better suited for a backup. So if tier five is someone who's better suited as a backup, sorry, Carson Wentz should be in tier five. Not trying to be petty, just trying to be real.
Yeah, same with Darnold.
Totally.
Darnold should be in tier six, let's be honest. Like, Darnold's been...
He should be in the XFL tier.
Darnold, Mariota, Geno Smith, Mitchell Trubisky... Those guys suck. I'm sorry. They're all terrible. Like, what are we even trying to do here? None of them have ever shown any moments in the league that I feel like merit them being anything more than a backup quarterback. And yeah, I'm going to say suck. I'm sorry. Like, Geno Smith, like, I'm not a Geno Smith fan. Those guys should not be ahead of Geno Smith. Drew Lock, like, he had one good game against the Texans in his whole career.
So you want the second half of tier four to be tier five, and you want Geno Smith in tier four.
You know what? Even Daniel Jones, I could sort of talk myself into if you really made me. But like all those other guys, no, they're terrible.
Also, how's Trey Lance listed on this?
One play Trey.
Like I think he's played one play in the NFL.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
If you're taking out rookies, also just take out one play Trey.
Let us know what you think about these quarterback tiers. We'll obviously be talking about these a lot more. All of the talking heads on the networks are discussing them as well. All right, coming up on Vanessa and
Have more
Gallant.
Tiers and be a little bit more, I would say, choosy next time,
and
Mike.
And less mean. Don't put one person in one tier. That's just bullying.
With Geno Smith getting bullied. I am
not okay with that. Make more people in tier five. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there is an NFL player retiring who's familiar to Houston and the area. That's coming up.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are rolling along on a Tuesday. Danny Amendola of the Woodlands is retiring. He let a couple of reporters know that he is hanging it up after a good career in the NFL, solid career. And this reminded you, Paul, of one of your favorite social media rants of the last 5 years-ish.
It's very cringe. We've all had moments like this. I'm not going to dump on Danny Amendola like I, too, haven't embarrassed myself in the name of love, but after he and Miss America / Miss Universe Olivia Culpo, their long on again, off again relationship ended, he put a very long post up.
It's very awkward.
I believe there should be a boundary between private life and social media. Olivia believes in fishbowl lifestyle. This fundamental difference was huge in our relationship. If you're my real friend, you know I'm private. My mother, brother, father, and nephew are closest to me in this world, and you don't see one picture of them. And that's for their protection from those who criticize and judge. Fair point. There are times where I have, especially in the wake of the whole chill dog thing.
Chill dog.
I've been pretty nervous about putting up pictures of certain family members.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
I remember one of my friends checked that. My stepbrother actually asked me to take down a picture that I had with them from like 7 years ago because of that. And I was like, okay.
People were like attacking your family?
They weren't, but someone came after someone I am very close with, and I thought that was really messed up, and I was sort of like,
yeah.
I don't really know what to do on that front, especially because we didn't have any pictures together up. Whatever, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, this post continues. I believe in nailing picture frames on the inside of my house to remind the ones I love that I care. Olivia chooses and wants to be noticed on the internet and in Hollywood to make money, which was hard for me to understand but quickly had to learn. Whereas the cost of fame in this world doesn't appeal to me. I play ball for one reason, and that's respect, all caps. The only reason I'm writing this post is because whether I liked it or not, we lived in the public eye. Some of it is amazing.
Help.
I've met some of the nicest people in the world. And Olivia and I had amazing times just like any other relationship we fought. A lot of the time it was my fault because I could be an idiot. She's bleeped up too, though. And if you cross me, I'm a hard MF-er to deal with. The universe brought her and I together to enjoy life, love, and learn. We celebrated that as often as we could. And the sex was bleeping crazy too. Humble brag.
I cannot
this is get so
over
long.
That. I can't get over that.
We still got a couple of sentences to go. She gets so mad at me for not posting her on social media, but I think this bleep is sometimes fake, sometimes toxic, but sometimes beautiful. And I felt like she had enough pictures online. Anyway, truth is, I have a whole cell phone of funny, embarrassing, sexy pics. IG would love to have. However, living a public image isn't my choice. It's something I've learned to deal with.
So many humble brags.
I know. Reading all these wild stories about her and I and seeing Olivia with other men, I just wanted to personally clear the air out there. We've been on and off for a long time and not together as of late. Not sure what's in the future, but the only thing I care about is our happiness. And if that's dancing with scrawny little bleeps, so be it.
It's like
that's the best part.
So many directions.
And this starts with he's a private guy, and then
it's a great point.
He writes five paragraphs
and talks about their sex life.
Yes, he gets very, very detailed.
So be it. I'm happy too. With that said, Liv, my beautiful ex-girlfriend, Providence's finest in Baker's Bay pancakes. Carry on, Instagram. And
no.
Then he tagged her at Olivia Culpo. He deleted this hours later.
This is one of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be fair, he deleted hours later, so people only got like the first part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are more. Danny Amendola of the Woodlands, Texas. Shout out to his dad, who's a great athletic director. Very helpful to the local TV stations here.
Shout out to him. He helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl.
Texas Tech, two Super Bowls with the Patriots. And according to the internet, he is the last player of the Patriots dynasty to retire. End of an era. Is that accurate?
I mean, he's the most recent, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Has Dante Hightower officially retired?
I don't know.
Dante Hightower.
You know why? Because this is according to Fox News. It's fake news.
Yeah.
Of course, because Tom Brady hasn't retired, but I guess they mean like other players. All right, so Danny Amendola is done in the NFL. He did play for the Texans. Don't know that he made that big of a quote-unquote splash, but he was here in Houston. All right, it is time for our segment, of which we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So Google has made a bid for NFL Sunday Ticket. NFL Sunday Ticket, RIP to DirecTV. You have to think that is done after NFL Sunday Ticket leaves. But there's been bidders. There's
Apple.
There's been
Amazon.
Some of the networks, etc. And it does appear that Google, now it would be, if it were Google, according to the internets, it would be on YouTube.
Yes.
So it would be a YouTube TV type production.
Right. So, I don't know. That would mean you would maybe have to subscribe to YouTube TV or something like that.
I'm so tired of all the subscriptions. I know I say it every time. I'm well aware, but I'm sick of it.
I'm about to join NFL Plus.
And I already have Peacock so I can watch Dateline and IndyCar. And then I have HBO Max so I can watch Succession and Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. It's overwhelming.
You watch every episode of Real Sports?
No. No, that's very
intense. I like to pretend I watch Real Sports, too, from time to time, but yeah.
No, I actually do.
You do?
I love Bryant Gumbel. Oh, yeah. It's one of the best shows on television.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a big comeback for Google because of the rumors.
Oh, no. What rumors?
The rumors with Elon Musk and Google co-founder Sergey Brin, which Elon Musk denied. Apparently, Sergey Brin, who is the Google co-founder, his wife and he are getting a divorce, and there were rumors about it. Perhaps some flames between Elon Musk and his ex-wife. Elon Musk went on Twitter and denied them. And weeks after saying he's doing all he can to repopulate the Earth, he says he has not had sex recently.
Doesn't he believe in like just having as many children? Like he's on the Nick Cannon plan for pullout, which is to say he doesn't. All right, another fictional mobster died. R.I.P. to Paul Sorvino.
So Paul Sorvino was in Goodfellas, and he played Paulie in Goodfellas. And if you've watched that movie, you'd know that the guy does as much acting by not doing anything as he does by speaking. And
cutting that garlic, though.
This is a famous scene from Goodfellas where Sorvino is confronted by somebody who wants him to do something about Tommy, played by Joe Pesci.
I'd like to help you out. Look, what do you want from me? What am I going to do? Tommy's a bad kid. He's a bad seed. What am I supposed to do? Shoot him?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean to say that. I just mean that he's scaring me. You know, I need help. All right, help me, please. You know.
That pause. He just gives the guy a look. Just gives him a flat look. And every time that character, Paulie, gave a look in that movie, you just felt nervous. I don't know if this was sort of what set up some iteration of Tony Soprano when The Sopranos eventually was made, if this was an inspiration in any way. But, another good guy from these mafia movies
like
gone
Ray
too soon.
Ray Liotta, James Caan, right? And then who was the other one?
The Paulie Walnuts.
Yeah. From
Tony Sirico, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like four in the last couple of months. Yeah.
Is it fishy?
Is it? Yeah.
I don't think so.
All these mob guys dying of natural causes, though. That's
he was 83 years old.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you.
I don't think any scores are being settled.
No, I didn't know Sorvino's daughter was the chick from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Yep. Yeah, and she, here's what's really funny when, you know, you see this guy in this movie who's like this mobster, but a video went viral of her yesterday accepting an award.
Yeah, it made me cry.
And Sorvino, and she thanks her dad, and Sorvino just started blubbering, and it was a very cute father-daughter moment.
Very sweet indeed. All right, Klondike's Choco Taco discontinued after 40 years. I'm disgusted. I'm disgruntled. I don't understand why companies cancel food/beverages that people actually like.
I've never had one.
Delicious.
So it's just a...
Have you had them, Sean?
Isn't it just a...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a waffle cone ice cream with chocolate, but it's in the shape of a taco.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's like an ice cream sandwich, but shaped like a taco with waffle cone.
Oh, it's a waffle cone. Okay.
It's very good.
So it's not like a... I saw Choco Taco. I'm assuming it's just like, it's a Klondike bar, but it's like a taco.
No.
Okay.
No. Snack wraps from McDonald's. No idea why those were canceled. I loved those.
Bring back the McRib.
Bring. Mexican pizza from Taco Bell. I think they're bringing that back.
Yeah, that's back.
Yeah, that needs to be back. I don't understand the people that make these decisions. But I do understand the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham, Joel Blank. You got them from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's been a Tuesday for Vanessa and Gallant. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.